This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Welcome to Salam Nerds Podcast. We do reviews and recaps of nerd culture, reality TV, and current events from this week.
Yo, 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 it's the Salam Nerds. My name is Dean, a.k.a. Watson Dean, and I'm here with my boy, Chad.
We drop live episodes on YouTube on Sundays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. All episodes can also be found everywhere podcasts are found. Thank you to all our supporters. Please help us by subscribing and leaving a good review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Yo, 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 Salam Nerds. This is your boy Neves, a.k.a. Watch with Neves, and I'm here with Ruzzy LeBeau. Remember it. Welcome to the show, man. Oh man, this is a great episode because nothing bad happens in this episode. It's just good times all around, good vibes
all around.
Both of these episodes, nothing bad happens. Oh, all right. Listen, this is gonna be a tough one. We're gonna go through all five stages of grief. When we do that, so the first stage is denial. So we're gonna pretend like the fifth episode doesn't happen. So let's talk about the fourth episode. The fourth episode is called Motendo and Life Death, which is about Jubilee's birthday, and Jubilee goes inside of a video game. And I really love this episode because I am a big proponent of the X-Men the arcade game. I love that game. Playing it was so much fun, and I love the fact that they brought those graphics into this episode. I thought that was really, really cool. What are your thoughts?
I loved it as well. It was I actually kind of always loved the Mojoverse episode.
Yeah,
it was just something that was fun and just silly and quirky. It brought, and I know we'll talk about it later, but it kind of redeemed one of the characters that is pretty dark in the X-Men, so we could get into that, but yeah. I feel like every time I, you know, watch an episode, I'm like, I know there's an issue or a couple issues series about this, and then I just dig, and it's just like a gold mine. That's why I love X-Men.
Got it. Okay. I wonder what character you're talking about, but yeah. We start in the beginning where Magneto won't throw Jubilee a jubilation or a birthday party, which he's like, damn, your parents must have loved you. And he goes, my parents are dead. He's like, yeah, freaking Morph, way to bring up the Holocaust.
Buzz, oh my god.
Also, I love like how the Motendo game is actually a Sega Genesis.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it was. Yeah. Oh, it's great.
I thought that was really, really cool. So in the game, they go into like Genosha, and they see the Sentinels and all this stuff, and they meet Mojo, who suddenly has abs now. They definitely changed the character of Mojo quite a bit, and I think they did do it for the better a little bit. I like Mojo, but it was erring on the side of anti-Semitism, in my opinion, because he would use like these Yiddish phrases like booby and like these really like Jewish agents in Hollywood that they would kind of show in the early 80s and 90s. And I felt like they were trying to get away from that. So I was like, okay, he does sound very different in this, but I think it makes sense. I think it's good that they didn't go that route.
I agree. I think, you know, X-Men has always been either one, a sign of its times, or two, ahead of its times. And I think at that point, yeah, it was probably just mimicking what most of TV was. But today, for this fourth episode, is really mimicking reality TV show, which we're all accustomed to, which you adore. And
I love it. I
do not.
I am the king of reality TV, where I talk about all things reality TV. And so it's really hard because, like, our fan base is like half like reality TV people and it's half like nerds. And sometimes the algorithm doesn't catch us and we're like, oh no, we're not getting a lot of views and stuff like that. Like, it takes a while. Like, if I do like the first episode of The Bachelor, like, I get like no views, I get no like likes, and then I'll get like to the third episode and then the algorithm catches on, and that's when like they start going viral again. So it's really, really funny how that works. Same thing with like the superhero stuff too. So
we're house divided here.
I know. So yeah, he also has abs now. So Mojo's got abs, which is awesome. Good for him.
Or lipo.
It turns out he was just sucking it in the whole time. I think like he actually just like lets it out. He probably was on Ozempic.
There we go.
Like all of Hollywood is.
The Ramadan Ozempic.
Yeah. Shout out to Yersmith Shah. See you in the comments. We're talking about X-Men 97. So drop your thoughts about the fourth and fifth episode and we'll get to it. Also, so we see this character who is in the comics. And she is basically Jubilee, an older alternate version of Jubilee in the comics. But in here, she is like a video game version where basically like Jubilee kept dying over and over and over again. And this is the one version of Jubilee that didn't die and somehow hacked the game, which is cool. Very like Black Mirror-ish little side story that they had. Was that the character you were talking about that you thought?
Yeah, Abscissa. So she's a future Jubilation Lee, and she's a slave in the Mojoverse. Mm-hmm. And so the story did a really good job at kind of redeeming her character, but in the comics, it's really quite sad. And that she just basically, like, instead of like the show kind of like setting her free, I think the comic was more of her just kind of giving up, and she kind of willed herself out of existence. Whereas this one is more of like, she's like kind of more circle complete. Yeah. So I think they did a better job in the show than they did in the comic.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I like that. They also made some reference to some 90s shows. They said Who's the Boss with Cyclops and Magneto, Storm, and Jean, which is interesting because each in the comics, each one of them have been able to lead the X-Men. So I thought that was really interesting.
I like that.
And they had A Different World, which is interesting because that is a very popular show that was in the 90s also. And it's a spinoff of The Cosby Show, actually. And I think the showrunner and the creator is a big fan of that show. So they've mentioned that. And they also Divorce Court with Jean and Cyclops, which I think is really funny.
Yeah, that's really funny.
And it's a throwback to the Mojo episode in the original because he did like a Miami Vice version and he did like, I think I Dream of Jean, like I Dream of Jeannie.
Yep, so
he
I Dream did, of Jean.
They did that too. And I thought that was really funny. So I like that it was kind of going back. And then in the next episode, not episode, but the next scene, we kind of see the video game. The video game is very much like the Konami style video games where like it's 2D and it just goes from like left to right, kind of like Streets of Rage, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and X-Men itself. It's like one of those kind of games where like, you know, you fight a bunch of bad guys and you get this power and then you can use your main power at the end, which Jubilee kind of does in the video game, which I thought was really, really cool. So like it definitely gave me nostalgia vibes for like the video game that I used to play back in the 90s.
Oh, yeah. And the X-Men video game was amazing. The side scroller, like all the characters you can choose. I mean, who didn't love that? Who didn't play that either? Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, like Chuck E. Cheese. That's where I played it. I got the tokens. I love that. Who was your favorite player to play in the game?
Wolverine. I mean, of course, right? Like Wolverine's my guy.
Oh, mine was Nightcrawler. I love playing Nightcrawler. Nightcrawler has had that really cool power, so it was really easy to fight with him. So I was a big fan. All right, and they also go into the Savage Land, and you see Sauron a little bit, which is really, really cool. And I thought that was, you know, a little bit of a throwback to the Savage Land. I thought that was cool. So it was kind of showing like all the big arcs in the original show in video game format, which I kind of liked. I thought that was really cool the way they did that. They mentioned Asteroid M. That was another thing that they did.
So boss
that
battle.
Was really cool. Yeah, boss battle, right? With Magneto and the extra life that they had.
Yeah, extra life. I love that. It was great.
Final boss, aka The Rock. I don't know if you've been watching wrestling.
But yeah, like, I know the final boss. Are you kidding me? Of course I know the final boss.
We did like a 2-hour episode yesterday. The longest episode we've ever done covering WrestleMania. It was wild. Oh my God.
I can't believe he came back. I mean, it's so crazy.
And I know.
He comes back with his heel. It's amazing. Yeah.
I know, which is the opposite of like Magneto, because he came back as a face. He came back as like a good guy, right? So yeah, it's pretty interesting. So we learn about Abyssa, and she tells you who she is. She's the version of Jubilee. And basically, they have this huge fight and, you know, kind of just like all out war. And then Jubilee does her, you know, weapon and power. She defeats JoJo. And that was kind of like the end of that episode. So it was like not really relevant to the plot, just kind of just thrown in there. So
it's
like, if you're one of those people that like was like, what the hell, what's the point of this episode? I kind of understand. Like, if we had 20 episodes and they threw this filler in there, I would be so happy. I'd love it. But the fact that we only have like a few episodes and they just like wasted it on this thing that's not really a plot, I'm kind of like conflicted. So I kind of understand how some people don't like it. But I myself, like, I liked it. I enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah, me too. I thought it was great. But it also paired nicely with kind of the very different side of Life Death that we'll get into, which is also a multi-part series.
So the next episode is not even the next episode. It's the same episode. It's just a two-part thing. And we learn about Storm. And Storm is basically with Forge now. Forge is the younger version of himself. They kind of explain his powers, how his powers are basically he can like invent anything, basically. Is kind of like his power. And he also has like a little bit of a supernatural power, which we kind of see a little bit in this episode, because we do see this demon, adversary, I believe he's called. And he is kind of interconnected with Forge, I believe, quite a bit. And basically what he tries to do is try to give back Storm her powers. And he puts her in this machine and she comes back and she tries her powers again and they don't work and she cries. And then he ends up admitting to her that he is the person who invented the technology that invented the collars, which invented the weapon that took away her powers. And she had a bit of a fit. She was not happy, as understandably. But I thought that was really, really cool to explain that. And there's like a little bit of an Easter egg, because if you watch the pictures, he has, I believe, Dr. Adler in one of the pictures, who was the person who was inventing the cure for mutants, which ended up actually being Mystique. So and Forge actually works with X-Factor. So yep. X-Factor was kind of like a government sanctioned mutant team, which has Cyclops' brother in it, ironically, and a few other people like Lorna and multiple
Strong
man.
Guy Wolfsbane.
Yeah,
Wolfsbane, multiple man. Yeah.
All of these guys. So I thought that was really cool, cool reference. What did you think about this episode?
I actually loved it. So this Life Death is a classic X-Men love story.
Yeah.
And it's a classic Storm story. So you have like these both coming together. Forge is a mutant from the Cheyenne Nation. He's Indigenous American. And, you know, he has just this technological prowess as his power. You can just understand, you know, design and technology, and is master inventor and engineer. So I think like Forge is someone they never really explored. And just in the couple minutes we had with him, we got his story. And also, like, I think part of it is probably, and this is exactly what happens in the comics, like he does reveal to Storm that he is the one who worked with the Sentinel program, or at least with Trask. And I think I think part of it is he can't help himself. I think he, like, because of the technology, he knows it better than anyone else, that it's like, well, if anyone's gonna do it, I should do it,
right?
Like, still, it doesn't,
like a scratch, you gotta itch. Like an itch, you gotta scratch.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think X-Factor being part of the government at that time, I don't think that really helped his case. But you know, I think now we're both into the second part, which will likely get into like redemption and healing and, you know, more about the love story, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Like,
okay. Yeah. No, I like that. And that's really all that happened. I don't think there's anything else that happened. I think it was a very short episode. It was kind of just like Storm is here. She's going through this. Like, you know, obviously Storm is going through a lot of crazy stuff right now because she lost her powers. And it kind of takes her out of the equation of, you know, the X-Men. She can't really do any of the heavy lifting. They even, like, you know, I think they even took her out of the intro. Maybe not this episode or the
next one, but
they took her out of the intro. I don't know in which episode, but they took her out of the intro.
You've taken an Omega level mutant off the playing field. Like, that's insane.
That's insane.
I also thought was interesting, and they didn't really get into it, but like, I knew what she was feeling, but like when she was put in that tube for like scanning, I was like, oh, she's claustrophobic right now.
Oh, that's right. Rogue is, I mean, not Rogue, Storm is claustrophobic. You're right.
Crazy claustrophobic. So
that makes a lot of sense. All right, cool. So that is the episode that is kind of not, you know, bad, but then we'll get to the next episode. And this one is called Remember It, which is a common phrase used by Gambit. I believe the first time they used it wasn't actually Gambit. The first time they used it was actually Wolverine. Wolverine's the first time they used that phrase, but then ever since then, Gambit uses it over and over again. But this episode is crazy. People, so like, it's so crazy the Watcher showed up. So this must be like a nexus point, because they showed the Watcher, which I thought was like, oh shit,
crazy. I saw that too. I reground that just like a couple times.
This is basically canon to Loki now, because since the Watcher is in here and everything, and the tree of like whatever timeline and all that stuff's here, this is the real world in the MCU now.
Crazy.
That is crazy. Also, I don't know if you noticed this, but in the intro, in the first few intros, when we see Jean, she has like long hair, and now Jean in the intro has a ponytail. And I was like, damn, they knew what they were doing. That was so good. Oh, someone says, is there mic issues? Oh shit, maybe there is.
Let's hope not.
I don't know. If there is a mic issue, let me know. You know what? That's all right. I'll just do that. There's only a mic issue on the TikTok, so we'll just close that. That's fine. We'll try that some other time. So basically, I think they set it up with Madeline. I thought that was really cool. Jean and Scott are kind of going through it. Scott is doing this interview and they're asking him about his son and all this stuff. So all this stuff is happening. Then Jean is also looking through her memories and trying to figure out what's going on. And girl kisses Logan. And I'm like, oh, girl, Jean, what are you doing? Technically, now that there's two Jeans, they could each get one.
I mean, they could. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, one is clearly attached to one, and the other is just, I don't know. I think Logan, he was surprised. He was just like kind of like struck by it, because he was trying to help her like get reconnected and grounded.
Yeah.
But because she read his mind, maybe there's just something that sparked in her. I don't know. Or Scott just kind of pushing her away.
Yeah, the other thing is, like, Wolverine knows what she's going through, because he also had issues with memories, because he doesn't know which one of his memories are real and fake. So he's probably the person who could understand Jean the most in that situation. Honestly, I'm like, listen, Jean, go with Logan and give Madeline to Cyclops, and like, everyone be happy, because like, homie was cheating on Jean with his clone in his head. Like, that was kind of crazy.
Emotionally
cheating, you know, not like physically cheating, but like emotionally cheating is still pretty bad. And I was just like, and the way she catches him and gets mad, and I'm just like, oh man, this is complicated. And I believe something similar happens to him in the comics, but with Emma Frost. I believe
Emma Frost, exactly. Exactly.
It is crazy. But Magneto, Gambit, and Rogue are on their way to Genosha, and they have a new Blackbird, apparently. I don't know where they get these. Apparently they get them on Amazon, because like, it just blew up and now they have a new one.
Or maybe Forge just like invents it.
Yeah, yes. I don't know. I mean, he's busy with Storm. I don't think he's inventing it. I don't know where they got one that quick.
And then
Magneto's like, listen, you're the only one here that can't fly. So let's relax, all right? I thought it was really cool. We got to see Genosha. It seemed like a fun place. Everyone's having a good time. And I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't expect what was going to happen to come, but it kind of made it hurt a lot more. You see all these mutants there. You see, I think we saw Pixie. We saw Nature Girl. We saw Glob.
Dazzler.
Boom, boom. So many.
Leech.
Yeah. You know, Callisto, Archangel. There are so many people in this. And you're like, oh, man, this place has a lot of mutants.
You forgot our boy.
Who?
Gert.
Who? Oh, Gert?
Wagner.
Oh, no, we're going to get to Vok. We're going to get to it. We see Kurt, and Kurt is literally one of my favorite X-Men. You know, because like, we never had like Muslim representation in any of the X-Men, but I kind of did take some, you know, like similarity with Kurt, because he reminds me of like really devout Muslims, right? Like no matter how bad things get, they always turn to God and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I always notice, like, if you notice in the X-Men cartoons, Kurt always talks about God, but he never mentions Jesus, which is interesting.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that is, but it also made him more relatable to, like, I guess, like the Jews and the Muslims and stuff like that, because we all have like the Abrahamic faith in God, and everything he was saying, I was like, yo, facts, like it applies to us too. So like, it's really interesting that I found such a strong connection with a Catholic character. And it's one of those things where, like, you know, once you take away our differences, we really, really are the same, like, you know, in terms of like the stuff we preach and then all the goodness. Is just the people that, you know, weaponize it all the time. Like, you know, weaponizing spirituality, it's been going around since like the dawn of time. So, you know, I think once you take that weaponization part away and just focus on the good, you can definitely relate to this character. And I really, really love Kurt. I think he's amazing. And like, unlike Daredevil, who's like has a different relationship with his Catholicism, like he has this like guilt and like all this other stuff with it, Kurt has like all this positive stuff to it. Like, he always turns to God and he's always like in a good mood and he's always happy, even though he's got the short end of the stick. He literally looks like a demon, like a devil. So I don't know, I really loved him, and I'm glad he found a home in Genosha and he's happy. Oh, look at that. Our homie
even at the Banff.
Yeah, oh, I love the Banff. And like, they did a great job with the sound effects. Like, the sound effect really sounded like Banff. Like, I really, really love that. What are your thoughts about Nightcrawler?
I could not agree more. I think as you talked about your introduction to Nightcrawler, it really brought back so much nostalgia, because same for me. I mean, like, when I was going to Sunday school or whatever, like, you don't really see many representations of people that are, you know, I don't know, religious in or kind of devout or kind of talking about religion in comics or comic books or comic book culture. And so Nightcrawler was one of the few people to do that. And he talked about it in such a universal way, which is kind of how it should be anyway.
Yeah.
And it makes like the X-Men writers and Stan Lee and just everyone who put like everything into X-Men, both the comics and the animated series, like, put their all into it. They put like so much into the show.
Yeah.
And it definitely shows for me. And Nightcrawler is such a relatable character, but he's also a lot of fun. And he's like got this innocence to him, partly because of the religion, but also because he, despite how he looks, he always sees the good in people. He always hopes, he always dreams. He shares that with others. He tries to inspire and encourage others. Like, one of his best friends is Wolverine.
Yeah.
And they're like, they couldn't be further apart, but like, that is his boy. Like, you know, I think obviously like Morph has kind of taken that role in the show, but like, honestly, it's Nightcrawler. Like, it's always been Nightcrawler.
Nightcrawler and, made him turn to God, man. He made Wolverine religious. That's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, for sure. So it's pretty awesome. So thanks for bringing that nostalgia back.
Yeah. Also, in X-Men 2, the movie, like that intro with Nightcrawler at the president's office.
The best.
One of the best.
The best scenes. I would say like X2, like Days of Future Past aside, like X2 is my favorite, and it, it is for a lot of other X fans, like, or people that have seen the X-Men movies. Just that Nightcrawler like vamp scenes, like, you could hear it. It just like, oh, I need to see Nightcrawler on screen again.
Oh my god, we need to see Nightcrawler on screen again. It's really good, man. So yeah, Scott's having it out in this interview, and he's yelling at the lady and saying, yo, he's saying some like Magneto shit. He's like, you people, he's doing a lot of you people.
Be grateful. Yeah, you guys are ungrateful. Like, what?
Oh, man. Scott, man.
Like, hashtag Magneto was right.
I know, right? And the interesting thing is, like, Scott is basically the Captain America of the X-Men. So to see him go through this is like, whoa. Yeah. This is not good, man. Not good. Yeah. Also, it's really funny meme where, like, in the last episode where Scott's like, I'm not going to abandon my son. I can't watch this, as he abandons his son and walks away.
That's so true. Poor Cable.
I know. It is so funny. All right. So we see the kiss that happens. And then Scott tells people they're ungrateful. Also, like, Emma Frost kind of notices Madeline doing this psychic thing. So she, and she's also psychic. So I guess she kind of noticed that. Like, I know where you were. I know what you were doing, girl. You were having a psychic affair in the middle of a meeting. Like,
totally.
Like,
I mean, we should talk about the Genosha Council.
Yeah. Who's on the Genosha Council? Sebastian Shaw is in there. That was a surprise. Emma Frost is in there. The other one is Moira McTaggart's in there as the only human. Or is she the only human?
Or is she? Yes. Right? Yeah. And Banshee.
And Banshee's there. Yep.
Yeah.
Moira has a power too in the comics, I believe. She dies and can retain all her memories from her past lives.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and you'd find that out in, I think, the House of X story. But like, and that also, it's basically where essentially Magneto's dream comes true. Like, all mutants, because at the time this is like House of M, where Scarlet Witch said no more mutants. There were only 198 mutants that were left. And so they all either went to the X-Mansion or they went to Genosha. And so this is kind of like where they all started to come, and then they repopulated, and this other story came, Messiah Complex. And the Genosha Council essentially is a representation of different parts of the X universe. And so the Sebastian Shaw and Emma Frost represent the Hellfire Club, which have always been villains in the storyline. But then you have other aspects, which they don't really get into here, but in the comics, like, oh man, it's like really interesting. And you have like three seats per like group. Mm-hmm. So I definitely recommend people check out the House of X story. It's such a fascinating read. Yeah. And there's a lot of that threads into this episode.
That's true. All right, and let's see what happens. Then they tell Magneto that they wanted him to be chancellor of Genosha, and he's like, Dr. Cooper comes in, he goes like, you know, not many countries have terrorists take over them, and then he goes, yet so many leaders, so many countries let their leaders become terrorists. And I'm just like, damn, bro.
Sing, burn. Burn. I love Magneto.
Yeah, I was like, Magneto. Okay. Yo.
Yeah.
That was some shit.
I know, right? Yeah, I love Magneto. He's like he's awesome.
That line was fire. And I was just like, yo, hashtag ceasefire now, man. I was like, yo, there are some countries, I mean, some fucking war criminals are leading them, and they're no better, man. They're no better. So I thought that was really, really interesting. But he wanted Rogue as his queen, and he says that he wanted her as a queen because she can touch people and literally empathize with anyone. And Rogue is considering it. She goes to see Remy. She tells him. Remy's throwing his cards in the fire, looking kind of sad, but he's also like, listen, Magneto's playing you, but whatever. I'll be your friend if that's what it is. And I was like, damn, Gambit's got it rough. And he's holding the Queen of Hearts card, which I'm like, oh man, that's rough. That's rough.
And he says this one line about some cuts are deeper than skin, or some, what was the line again? It was,
no,
some
things are deeper than touch, or something like that. Some love is deeper than touch. I don't know what it was, but yeah, that was rough to watch. And then she shows up at the Hellfire Gala, which I think was the Hellfire Gala. They don't specifically say, but I think it was because
it was definitely the Hellfire.
Yeah, because the girl with deer antlers was there. And if you go back to the first episode where the house blows up and there's a newspaper that mentions the Hellfire Gala, the girl with antlers was in the picture. So I think that's what that was. So Rogue also tells him all about the history of how they knew each other and they went back quite a bit. And then, you know, she's known about him for a while, which is kind of interesting because we went 5 seasons of her pretending she never met Magneto. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Which I think is really interesting. But she goes into this, you know, ballroom and she's flying in the air, which gave me very much like Ready Player One vibes. I don't know if you ever watched that movie.
Yeah, 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 totally.
Dancing in the air and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's kind of what it felt like to me. And I don't know if she was meant to go to Magneto or just Magneto can fly. So he met her up there before she can get down to Remy. But they kind of dance and she kind of says that she's going to pick Gambit. She's not going to do it, which I was surprised. So she picks Gambit, but our boy never learns this. And that's rough. That's rough, buddy. Oh, man. I love Gambit so much. But also, while this is happening, Madeline is getting these headaches and starts like having a nosebleed. She goes outside and she sees Cable. And this is the first time Cable. Yeah, and the first time you see Cable mention Jean as his mom, because he's interacted with Jean a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. And he never calls her his mom, even though he knows, because there is a scene in the original where he goes, computer, tell me about the X-Men. She goes, oh, I know all about Jean Grey and Cyclops. So obviously he knows. But he never treated Jean like his mom. But this time he comes back in time and literally says mom, because she's not Jean, she's Madeline. And I'm just like, oh, that makes so much sense. And if you go to the episode where Jean reads his mind and finds out that he's the son of Scott and Jean, you see that Jean does not have her hair in a ponytail. She actually has it long, insinuating that it was Madeline Pryor. Like they did that way back.
That's crazy. I love it. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, Cable. I don't want to like put the ranking in your middle of your show, but like,
yeah,
I saw that like top four X-Men were trending before this all started. For me, it's always been Wolverine, Nightcrawler, Gambit. And then the fourth has always been a floater between Storm, Cable, and Bishop. And like Cable, just like I love time travel, anything. Yeah. And just Cable being this dope, like badass character is awesome. And the fact that Josh Brolin got to play him and so well in the Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
Give us more Cable. Cable's amazing.
Yeah, Cable's dope. And also did the reference to Cable being Cyclops' son, because he uses his eye power in one scene even in Deadpool. So I think that's really, really interesting. But I really love that detail with Madeline and him. And also when Jean or Madeline is reading the mind of Trask in the beginning in the interrogation room, she sees this guy in sand say the same thing, I'm sorry, and it's the same voice. It's the voice of Cable. So she was foreseeing this memory of Cable, and she was kind of foreseeing what's happening with the Sentinels, but she thought it was the Sentinels that they were fighting in the beginning with Storm and not the Sentinels in Genosha. So she got her stuff mixed up when she read his mind. That's crazy. Ah, man, that was crazy. And then while he body slides out of existence, he says he's coming. And he says, I don't know who he's talking about when he says he's coming. Like, who do you think he's talking about?
Apocalypse, man. Always Apocalypse.
It is always like, Apocalypse. But like,
I feel like when it's Cable, it's got to be Apocalypse.
But in the comics, isn't the person who did all this Cassandra Cain?
Cassandra Nova.
Cassandra Nova.
I feel like there's like, honestly, I feel like there've been so many unfortunate like genocides either on Genosha or of mutants.
Yeah.
That some of my memory's a bit blurry, but I know that in the original series, there's a lot of like puppet mastery that Apocalypse would be playing. He'd play like the human anti-mutant like groups against the mutants, or he would play like, you know, mutant villains against the X-Men. Like, he would always be the puppet master behind the string. When it wasn't Mr. Sinister, it'd be Apocalypse. Those two are like the king puppet masters on like messing the X-Men up, or really just trying to make it look like there needs to be mutant domination over humans, which obviously is what Apocalypse wants. So I don't, we'll see. I mean, this might rally people around, you know, against humans as a result.
I mean, that's an egg. Listen, if you're talking about false flags, how do we know Magneto is not a part of all this?
That's true. That's true.
Could have faked his death.
Yeah. Yep.
Basically, everything blows up, and there's a lot of death, and we see Nightcrawler saving people. And then, you know, we see a few people that are saved. Nightcrawler barely still alive. A lot of people not doing well. We see Dazzler. We see a lot of people that are probably dying. We see Callisto die. And then they go into this fight mode. And this is where it gets badass. I mean, the destruction is insane. They said they took a lot of elements from 9/11 and the Tulsa massacres, which kind of makes sense. But these days, it could be to any genocide, because they all feel the same, you know, like what's happening in Gaza and stuff like that. And I, honestly, with all the stuff that's happening there, I really had a hard time stomaching this episode and watching it a little bit. Like, part of me felt like I had like a reaction to it, where like it felt really weird to see this while something like this is happening in the real world in real time. It was a little hard for me to like kind of watch this episode. I don't know, it's just kind of where the world is at the moment, so I don't know. But we did get to see Gambit start fighting all these people, and he gets his motorcycle and he gets his Akira on, which I thought was really, really cool. And then, you know, he gets himself caught and then blows up the entire thing. Don't know if that was his plan the whole time, or he was just, that was just like a last minute Hail Mary, but it was the most badass way to go out. I thought that was super cool. And then we see Rogue holding him and touching him for the first time, but he's dead. And she says, "I can't feel you." And I was like, damn, that sucks. And he'll never know that she chose him over Magneto. And I'm just like, bro, that's rough, man. That's rough. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, first of all, need to just to represent my boy Gambit right here.
Gambit.
I mean, he's just such a badass. I mean, I was sobbing. I'm not gonna lie. This grown man was sobbing. They just have done such a great job at character development, but also like both for this series, but also just like the five seasons prior, you just have invested so much in these characters. And it just goes to show that if you invest in characters and like good storytelling, that you have this beautiful result, and you can have a large ensemble and make something really, really beautiful. I was so sad. And this was on Eid too.
I know.
I watched it after I got back from like Eid prayer and like having breakfast with my parents and my family. And I was happy. I was like, it's X-Men Day, X-Men 97. I can't wait. Oh, was I so wrong? I was devastated. I was really shook up. So I feel like today is going to be therapy. with Neebs and the Salam Nerds community.
We're going to talk it out. We're going to go through the five stages of grief. We've already did denial. Then it's bargaining. I don't know what the other ones are.
Is it the right time zone?
Maybe Gambit could come back. Maybe he'll be a horseman of the apocalypse. We don't know.
It
could happen. It could happen anything. Anything could happen in the X-Men. Oh man, but not just Gambit, man. Apparently everyone died. I think in the comics they say 16 million people died on Genosha, which is a lot. What? Yeah, in the comics.
Is that what they said?
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's crazy.
That's insane.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that's wild. And you know, we don't know. And by the way, the people that don't know who Cassandra Nova is, she is Charles Xavier's sister. And she basically, is his twin sister.
Evil twin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We don't know if it'll be her.
Apparently, we'll be in Deadpool 3.
Yeah. Apparently, that's the big bad in Big Deadpool 3. Yeah. You're right. So yeah. I don't know. I don't know how all of this is going to go, but that's going to be really, really interesting. One thing that I thought was really interesting, did you see Magneto take the train and use it as a whip?
Yeah, it's so dope.
That was awesome. Like, fuck, that is so dope. That's
his powers are so badass.
I just love that. Damn man, that's crazy. One thing that I did notice is Gambit in chess is a move that you sacrifice to gain advantage and protect the queen.
Damn. Oh man, that just like,
what a way to go out.
I'm getting the feels again, man. Knees, why'd you say that? Why you say that?
You know what's even worse? You know what the last thing Xavier said to Gambit before he left? Hmm. He goes, how many times must the scoundrel prove himself a hero before he believes it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and he did. Yeah. I mean, he totally redeemed himself. He went out like a hero, you know, cards ablazing, staff ablazing. Like,
yeah.
He's a guy that everyone counts out, yeah, but somehow like stays with it. You're the swamp rat, right? Just like, yep, the raging Cajun he is. Yeah, he's a special character, and he's someone I really, really admired growing up. I loved Gambit. I Me dressed too. Up as Gambit in the fourth grade. my dad's trench coat, and then I had a red shirt, and then I just made the blue, you know, whatever. And I put like red construction paper on black pants.
Yeah.
And I my staff was like a stick, and then I just had the cards. I mean, yeah, it was fun. And then I had this headband.
Yeah.
Obviously, I couldn't do the whole face thing. But yeah, it was Gambit in like the third or fourth grade. I mean, he is such an awesome character. He's such a badass. And also, I couldn't make the Wolverine claw, so I had to do this.
Makes sense. No, man, I definitely love Gambit. And it's like, I don't know, I feel like conflicted because number one, I love the story he got. I love his arc. I love the ending. But I want more Gambit. Like, don't Me take too. Gambit away from us. Like, we just Dude. Got him back. We just got him back after 10 years, 20 years.
Like, 30 years.
That's crazy.
30 years, man. It's like these people, like these characters are like who you and I and our generation grew up with. Like,
yeah,
boys and girls, like they love the X-Men. And they're just like, they're so universal. And they had adult themes, and they didn't like dumb it down for kids. They like told us exactly how it was, explain what hate was, explain what love and peace were, you know, how to find peaceful reconciliation, like talking about genocide, talking about like hate crimes, like all of these really, really, you know, mature adult themes. And they're talking in their basically Saturday morning kids shows.
Yeah, so, like, basically.
Again, like this show knows its effing audience. Mm-hmm. It knows that if you put in the love and the care into this, it's like a love letter to its fans, both the ones that grew up on this, but also the new ones that have just found it for the first time.
Yeah, I agree. What do you think is going to happen next? Because Where do we go from here?
I have a couple of theories. So yeah,
do you think Magneto's dead? First of all, do you think he's dead?
I don't. I don't think he's dead because I think that we didn't see his body. One, but I think two, like it just seems like a little too quick, and there needs to be him. Yeah, he needs to come back. I think a couple things. So with Gambit, I think he is dead, But I do think that he is going to come back as a horseman of the apocalypse. That's I think he possible. Was going down this path right before, like, Rogue, when Rogue and Magneto were kind of having their thing. I think he was going down a very dark path.
Yeah.
And I think if he didn't, like, redeem himself with the kind of the act of heroism, this sure, he 100% go the horseman of the apocalypse.
I think
he will be resurrected by Apocalypse. Apocalypse will give him the powers back. And then it's going to be him trying to break away from that, which he's done in the comics. And it would be also a good way to kind of reintroduce Archangel, reintroduce other characters, maybe other Horsemen of the Apocalypse, and also bring Cable in from this other time stream. Mm. I think the second thing that they're going to do is focus on the House of X storyline and Krakoa, which is basically one of the like a mutant island who is actually an island. It's kind of, you know, nebulous with the two. And essentially they're going to have the seeds that will essentially restore all of the mutants or several mutants. So that way, whenever a mutant dies, you can just rejuvenate them and tap into the consciousness of through the seed. It's like a whole storyline. I highly recommend it. It's really, it is a little confusing, but I think it's like kind of a good way of like, well, anyone can die, but there's a way of like resetting that. And you can make sure that they can come back, which is how comic books kind of do it anyway. Yeah, but they actually like develop the system.
That's true. They just did it to Ms. Marvel a little while ago, and she was also at the Hellfire Gala. What if we see Ms. Marvel in the show? That'd be crazy.
Oh, I think we're seeing the Avengers in the show. I don't know which ones. I think Captain America is one that they dropped today. But yeah, I think there are a couple.
Really? That's crazy.
Yeah,
Captain America has already been in an episode. He was in a flashback episode with Wolverine.
Yeah. But I think he's going to actually like prominent. Like I saw a S.H.I.E.L.D. On Twitter for the show. So like I think it's coming.
Crazy.
I think it's coming
that's
soon.
Crazy. All right, man. I'm excited for this. I don't know what's coming next, but this show has been really, really good. How many episodes are there? Is it 10?
Five more left.
We're halfway there.
I learned today or yesterday that the last three episodes are all coming the same day.
What?
Yeah. So like the next two episodes will be one on like the next two Wednesdays.
Yeah.
And then on, I think it's May 1st, the last three episodes drop all together.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's do it, man. Yeah. Let's do it. Yeah. This has been a wild ride. Love the X-Men. This is a great way to remind people how badass the X-Men are, because we forgot, like, all these movies did not do them justice, and we kind of forgot how great the uncanny X-Men is, because the Bryan Singer movies, sure, they were good, but they weren't X-Men. There were so many changes, so many differences. In fact, they wouldn't even let comic books on the set, and if it wasn't for Kevin Feige, we wouldn't even have the iconic Wolverine hair and beard. Like, so I am glad that they're bringing this back. And then when they come into the MCU, they're going to be like the uncanny X-Men from Fox. And we're going to finally get a live action Gambit, not including the one from Wolverine Origins. but we'll see, man. I am super excited for us. We got a lot of X-Men content coming out with Deadpool. And now this, it's only good stuff from here, man. This is a great time to be an X-Men fan.
Oh yeah. I mean, like, I didn't get this collection for nothing. Like this, this is like a lot of tender care.
Yeah.
And I think X-Men is just something that's always rewarded me. Even I collected comics in the 90s, and then I had a long hiatus, and then I came back to comics. And then in 2006, 2007, when the Civil War happened, and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And then I had like a little bit of another hiatus, but X-Men is always something that's brought me back. It's always something I'm like, as I get my like 20 issues down to like three issues, it's always like X-Men, Wolverine, and like X-Force or like some of their X titles.
Yeah.
So I love it. And Ms. Marvel has now been thrown into that as well.
Yeah. She's the X-Men now. So we'll see.
Yeah. Let's hope she comes in.
I know. I would be so happy. I mean, they showed Dust. They showed Dust, and I would be really, really happy if we see Dust at least. But Yeah, man, I'm super excited for this. But yeah, look, thank you for joining us. We'll have you back when we do the next episode. I'm not sure if we'll do it next week or the week before. We've been doing two episodes at a time, which works because I feel like the Nintendo episode was very short and did not much happen. So it's good to combine the two. So we may do two episodes at a time. So the next time we do it, it might just be after a week. But look, it was good catching up with you. Thank you for joining us. And everybody, don't forget to like, share, comment, subscribe, help us with the algorithm. Once you give us a good review, it helps us out on Spotify. And, subscribe. You also can hit the bell, and the bell notifies you whenever a live episode goes up. So you can get a notification for that too. But thank you guys for joining us. And until next time, guys, salam, nerds.
Peace.